Good morning, everybody. Let's get started. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, there's so many things and so many people that need prayer today. We group them all together, present them to you, Lord, individuals and collectively, for your help, for your healing, and for what only you can give, and that is the wellness of body, soul, and spirit. Commit them to you. Help them today, Lord. And also, Father, this morning, as we delve once again into your word, into your holy writ in Romans, Father, bless us once again with capacity to concentrate and to walk in accordance with the truth that we find as we apprehend it, assimilate it, and apply it, faith, hope, and love, which is our primary objective. These three abide, faith, hope, and love. And we praise and worship you today and commit every aspect of our service to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is our guest of honor here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Sacred place, a boy and a man with a sorrowful face, tortured yet faithful to God's command, take the life of his son with his own hands. God will provide a lamb to be offered up in your place, a sacrifice so spotless and clean to take all your sin away. Here's the wood and fire, where's the sacrifice? A questioning voice and the innocent eyes, is the son of laughter who you waited for to die like a lamb to please the Lord. God will provide a lamb to be offered up in your place, a sacrifice so spotless and clean to take all your sin away. A gleaming knife, an accepted choice, a rush of wind and an angel's voice, a ram in the thicket caught by its horns, and a new day of trusting the Lord is born. For God has provided a lamb, he was offered up in your place. What Abraham was asked to do, he's done. He's offered his only son. What Abraham was asked to do, he's done. He's offered his only son.
Lovely. Thank you, Vicki. Good morning, everybody. Romans verse by verse, I've entitled the message this morning, The Call to Abide. The Call to Abide, Sunday, December 10th, 2023. Please turn with me to Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, which is extremely good and very accurate from the original text. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, having been made just as if I'd never sinned, that's what justified means, having been justified by a moment of faith, a moment of faith in the person of Christ, directed toward the person of Christ, I believe in who he is, the Lord, and what he's done. Paid for my sins, all of them, on the cross, so I could be justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Because he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's really something. That's really something. I can't get over it. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. We're not at odds. We have peace with God. He's satisfied with that moment of faith in the person of Christ. He has more for us, something more for us. We'll see that in a moment. And as we come to understand it and do our souls a favor, we go along with the plan, purpose, and will of God after salvation. That is to get the word of God in our souls. We have peace with God through, once again, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our access by faith into this grace in which we stand. I'll explain it all later. And we exalt or glory or boast in hope of the glory of God. That's what we have to look forward to. Glorification, justification, sanctification, glorification. We exalt or boast in hope. Hope is the anticipation of our certain glorification. Hope of the glory of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's who he is. That's the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the certain anticipation and expectation of your glorification. It's a lovely thing, wonderful thing. It's not over until it's over. When it's over, it's going to be fantastic. Verse 3, and not only this, but we also boast in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation, which is troubles of every kind, brings about patience, hupomone. It means to abide under a wide-ranging set of circumstances and difficulties in life. We boast about that in tribulation because it brings about proof. That's what it says. Now, it doesn't say proven character. You can't make it say proven character. I take it back. It's not all that accurate, the New American Standard. Proof. Tribulation brings about patience, and patience, proof. And proof, hope. More hope. And hope never disappoints, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. This is such an important passage of Scripture. Here's how it goes. We get saved and are declared eternally righteous the moment we believe in Christ, just as if we'd never sinned. with the gift of righteousness. In verse 2 comes the abundance of grace in which we stand. What's grace? The goodness, the kindness, the favor, and the blessing of God, which is due to righteousness. John 1:16. And from his fullness we've all received grace over against grace. One grace, benefit, and blessing after another. Romans 5:17. Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Just as sin reigned in death, so grace reigns in righteousness. In Romans 5:21. Not only do we stand in grace, but also we are equipped by grace to face great difficulty. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, your grace is sufficient, Paul said, when he was buffeted by a messenger from Satan and had a terrible affliction, physical affliction, a thorn in his flesh. And he said, my grace. He asked to have it taken away three times, and God said, no. He said, no, no, no. My grace is sufficient for you. He only said that once. He said, no, 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 because Paul asked three times. My grace is sufficient for you. So sometimes you pray over and over and over again for something, and the Lord says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. It means it's more than enough to get you through and to realize God's gracious purpose in your life to make you better and stronger than you could ever be if he took it away. Don't ask him to take it away. Take it away, take it away, take it away, Lord. He said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. So, not only do we stand in grace, but also we are equipped to face great difficulty, 2 Corinthians 12:9, which drives us to the Word. Difficulty drives you to the Word. I hope that's where it drives. It doesn't drive you to the bar, does it? It drives you to the Word as a believer in Christ. You know you can't get anything there that can help you. You're only going to complicate your situation, make matters far worse. I'll let that sink in for somebody here. Who? Somebody in the sound of my voice. So, difficulty, adversity drives us to the Word for the answers to our questions, the solutions to our problems, resulting in hupomone. Translated here, perseverance, or some places endurance, but it really means abiding under. Hupo means under, and meno means to abide. It means to abide under a wide variety of difficulty and adversity programmed into the plan of God in order that we would seek him and cleave to him and cleave to his word each and every day. Not sometimes for some things, but all the time for everything. That's what he wants us to do and be. So dependent upon him. This results in all the proof you need that God will provide everything you need to succeed. That's the proof. Adversity provides the proof when God answers your questions and solves your problem. There's your proof. According to his word. By this experience, faith becomes hope, which is confidence and courage in facing the future, that is, as long as you live on the earth. Since faith and hope are found in the Lord and affirmed by his word, and as he has proved himself faithful over and over again, faith becomes hope. Faith directed toward the future. You have no qualms or questions that God's not going to be faithful. You have all the evidence and proof that you need. By the full assurance of faith, we enter the door of hope. and are never disappointed, and by all he has done and provided, and through the information provided through his love letters, we become fully assured of his love for us. That's our introduction and summary of this morning's scripture text, Romans 5, 1-5. That's our summary. So if you want to get the summary and listen to it several times, you'll get the message of Romans 5, 1-5. The Word of God, all of it is the mind of Christ. In case you've forgotten, I'm here to remind you. Our great privilege is to learn His Word, to think His thoughts, and to do His will. To collect wide-ranging passages of Scripture with correlations and connections that explain far-reaching spiritual truths. These important passages in Romans 5, 1-5 are among them. Much like Romans 5, 1-5 is another passage, and you can turn there, 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Romans 5, 1-5, 1 Corinthians 13, 13. 5 is the number of grace, 13 is your lucky number. 13 epistles of the 13th apostle, and all the other 13s involved in the rite of primogeniture given to one called Ephraim, who was the Egyptian-born son of Joseph, to whom God promised he would make him into a nation of many nationalities, a great melting pot. You figure out the rest. Romans 5:5, having therefore been justified by faith, we have peace with God, and hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. 1 Corinthians 13, 13 says, but now, I'll explain it in a minute, now faith, hope, love abide. All the words are there. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Both of these verses are stunning. They contain the goal and central objective of all biblical instruction, which is what? Love from a pure heart. There you go. 1 Timothy 1:5. The result of abiding in the Lord, the result of abiding in the vine, the result of abiding in the Word. John 15:4 and verse 7, abide in me, the Lord Jesus tells us, commands us to do, and I will abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in a vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. That is in accordance with his word. Whatever you wish in accordance with his word. Not whatever you wish. Lord, let me hit the lottery. The Powerball. No. That probably won't happen. If it does, it'll be a curse rather than a blessing. Anyway. Since in these passages in John 15, the analogy of the branches and the vine, since you are not a branch, not really, and Jesus is not a grapevine, we must look elsewhere to learn what is meant by this metaphor. Jesus says much the same thing to his disciples as he invites others who had believed in him to join the band of disciples in John 8:30. You can turn there if you'd like. If you're quick, you can turn there. Or you don't have to. Just listen, because I'll send you the notes. John 8:30. As he, Jesus, spoke these things, many came to believe in him. No question about it. You're justified by faith alone in Christ alone. Then so Jesus, verse 31, was saying to those Jews who had believed, they'd already believed in Christ, for the free and irrevocable gift of eternal salvation, or justified. He said to them, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, if and If you do, and if you don't. If you do, fine. If you don't, this is what will occur. If you do, this is what will occur. If you don't, this is what will occur. If you abide in my word, then you will be truly disciplined learners of mine, disciples of mine, and you will know the truth. Who doesn't want to know the truth? Really? So important to know the truth. And the truth will make you free. How important it is to be free from all kinds of false ideas and notions and information, religious myths. So many people are held captive in and under and become agents of Satan, caught in his web to do his will. Note well what he said, not to unbelievers, but to those who believed in him. All who only believe in him have eternal life, and that's all well and good. It certainly is. But here Jesus is inviting the saved to his banqueting table so that he might unfurl the banner of love over them. Song of Solomon 2:4. In Luke 14, 11 to 14, the reason he invited you to his banqueting table is because, why? Why did he invite you? No, because you can't repay him. Greg, you should have known that. That was his message on Tuesday. Because you couldn't repay him, he says, go out and get those who can't repay me and call them in, invite them in, so I can unfurl my banner of love over them. All who only believe in him have eternal life. And that's well and good. But that's not all he has for them. He wants all that have eternal life also to have abundant life. Say, is this the prosperity message? Yeah, it's the true one. Abundant life. For this purpose he came. He said it, John 10:10. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Have abundant life. What does that abundance consist of? Let me tell you. FHL. Faith, hope, love. That's it. That's the abundance. An abundance of faith. The full assurance of faith. The full assurance of hope. And the full development of love. How are you doing with that so far? So far, so good? I think you are. So where does it come from? Where's faith, hope, and love come from? From the Lord. Only from the Lord. He's the only source of those things. They're all his. That which he blended in perfect proportion in the plan he has for your life, in order that you might be in some way like Jesus, thinking, speaking, choosing, and doing as he did in the days of his humanity. He said it to the Apostle John in 1 John 2:6. He said that if anyone alleges that he abides in Christ, in him, that one ought to walk around as he did in the days of his humanity. Remember? And how did he do it? 1 John 2:5. Whoso keepeth his word, in him the love of God is fully developed. So how do you get it? By getting the word into your soul. James 1:21. In humility receive, with meekness receive, the deeply implanted word which is able to save your souls. He's not talking about for eternity, he's talking about in time. From all of the ills and all of the impediments and all of the distractions that would come upon you otherwise. If you don't continue, if you don't abide, if you don't remain in the word, retain the word in your soul. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul, by esteeming it most highly. Like Job did. You think Job had troubles? Oh boy. How did it turn out for him? Really, really good. Really good in Job's case. But Job said in Job 23, in the midst of his terrible suffering, my foot has held fast to his path. It's the path of the righteous. It's like the light of dawn. Grows brighter and brighter until the full day. My foot is held fast to his path. Also Psalm 119:105. Your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Or vice versa. My foot is held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. Sounds like he's abiding, doesn't it? I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Isn't that something? How do you get it? By getting the word in your soul. James 1:21. By esteeming it most highly. Job 23:11-12. By spending your time to acquire it. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth. You've got to buy it. Not with money, with time. And do not sell it. Get wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So how do you get it? By finding it and eating it. According to Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became unto me the joy and rejoicing or delight of my heart. That sounds like a pretty good condition to be in, to be found in. So what does it mean? It means add to your portfolio of precious metals and rare gems, gold, silver, and precious stones, faith, which is gold, hope, which is silver, refined in a fire seven times, absolutely pure, a furnace of earth, precious stones, which is love, its many facets, in its many types and directions. Faith is, after all, the apprehension of Bible doctrine, is it not? Of course it is. Hope is the assimilation of Bible doctrine, the residence and circulation of Bible doctrine in your soul. And what's love? Precious stones, the application of Bible doctrine. Faith is the apprehension, hope the assimilation, and love the application of Bible doctrine. Faith, hope, and love. AAA, the AAA. Do you have AAA membership? Apprehension, assimilation, and application. GSPS, gold, silver, precious stone. FHL, faith, hope, and love. These three abide. But the greatest, beyond comparison, is love, the final objective. 1 Timothy 1:5. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can turn back to Romans 5. It says in the Greek, which means therefore, continuing with the thought, having been made righteous. We have a aorist passive participle. Having been made, it's like a verbal form of a, or a noun form of a verb. Having been made righteous. Having been made righteous. Something somebody else did to you and for you. Like Abraham was, by faith alone, in the seed who was not Isaac, but Christ, in Galatians 3:16. Here we have dikaiothentes, which means having been made righteous or justified. Justified, justified, never sinned. It means, righteousness means sinlessness. Did you know that? So how are we sinless? I'll show you. Righteousness is sinlessness. It is not relative. It is not comparative. It is absolute. Righteousness is a technical spiritual term. It is called an exclusive absolute and is nothing less than sinless perfection. You can't be unrighteous and righteous at the same time. It's impossible. It is the status, righteousness is the status of God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. Sinless, perfect in every way. Altogether righteous. In and of ourselves, we are not righteous and cannot be. Even if we were to give our very best effort and had a thousand lifetimes to live, the first time we think, speak, choose, or do anything that is in any way impure, we're permanently eliminated and disqualified. You only have to sin once. You're done. Under the law. Romans 14:23. How about this one? He who doubts is condemned, and whatever is not from faith is sin. How many doubts did you have this week or in recent times or even now under the teaching of the Word? And who except Jesus has not doubted? There have only been two righteous men in all of human history. The first was created righteous or sinless. That's the first man, Adam. The second was born righteous or sinless. That was Christ. The first only sinned once, and he was done, and so was the whole human race. The second never once sinned, and therefore he has something he can give us, something he can take from us and give to us. Take our sin, give us his righteousness. The first one sinned under maximum prosperity in paradise, the Garden of Eden, by eating from a forbidden tree. The second one did not sin under maximum adversity in the Garden of Gethsemane and went to hell on a tree to pay for the sins of the world so that all who believe in him might live with him forever in paradise. See the parallel? It's perfect. Never forget, it's Christ's righteousness, and never ever yours or mine. So he says, having been therefore justified by faith, he says, out from faith, ek pistios, same construction found in Romans 1:17, where it says the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, out from faith, into faith, from faith to faith. That's Romans 1:17, ek pistios. Where the gospel tells the story of righteousness, ek pistios, ice piston. Out from a moment of faith alone, in Christ alone, into a life of faith alone, in the Word of Christ, so that faith can become hope and hope can become love, as we abide in Christ, as we continue in his Word, in order that faith might become hope and hope love. That's the goal. For those of you who, like me, consider 13 your special number, not lucky number, special number. Luck has nothing to do with it. It's a wonderful thing. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Key passage whose numerical significance cannot be ignored or denied. That's 1 Corinthians 13:13. Look at it with me once again, a little more closely. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now these three abide, faith, hope, love. Abide these three, and the greatest, but the greatest of these is love. Starts out with but. Starts out with duh, and then it says nuni. You know what a nuni is? You need a nuni. But nuni. That means but now. That's something that has now come into a place of prominence. Now as never before, after all is said and done, is come to stay, to be henceforth considered most important. Now. Now. Then he says, but now abideth or abides. That's our word, meno. It means to remain, reside, to continue on without interruption. It also means to stay close or stay closely connected. Closely connected. So he says, but now abides faith, pistis, hope, elpis, agape, love, and he says these three. Only these three. These are the only things that remain, the only things that matter. They summarize everything else. Here's your spiritual life in time. Faith, hope, and love. No more. Nothing more. This, that, and the other. There's nothing else. Nothing more. Three is the number of perfection. Like the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. The trichotomous anatomy of man by creation, body, soul, and spirit. The trifecta, which is perfect, the perfect trio. The ultimate winner, who ends up with the secret of happiness, the key to success, and the meaning of life. There you go. What could be better than that? So he said these three, faith, hope, and love. Back to our passage in Romans 5, 1 to 5. Those who are justified by faith have peace. Peace. Don't you just love peace? Peace is good. Peace in the face of horrible trouble, adversity, difficulty, peace, in spite of it. Jesus said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives it to you, I give it to you. But he said, my peace doesn't depend upon the absence of trouble or conflict. You can have mine right in the midst of it. Here we have peace, which is elpis, or Irene, for the get our female name, Irene. I think I'll name my next child Irene. I don't think I'll have any more children. But if I did, I'd name her Irene, a girl child. Peace, Irene. Tranquility of soul and stability of mind, stability of mentality. That's what peace is. The ability to think, choose, and solve under pressure from the inventory of truth. Bible doctrine residing, abiding, and circulating in your soul. Found in the Word, but circulating in your soul so that you can apply it. It's got to be assimilated so you can apply it. Called to mind when assailed by doubt and fear. Here's Susie and I daily whenever we slip into doubt and fear. This is what we recite to each other. We have them completely memorized. Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 42:5, why art thou disquieted within me, O my soul? Trust thou in God. Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Be anxious in nothing, but in every, not just one of these is enough. You have to have them all. Be anxious in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, the peace of God, the peace of God. It works every time. It passes understanding. Well, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Great peace have they who love your word, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. Nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119, 165, Isaiah 26:3. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Did you get those all? There's a category for you. There's a repertoire of truth. Gold, silver, precious stones. Right there. I know I have that one. And many others besides. Thus, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. He says, we have peace. We have peace. We have. Exomen, we have. It's ours. Belongs to us. With God. Peace with God. Shalom. As the Hebrews said, and still say today, the Jews say today, which means mental health. In a time when everybody says, oh, we have mental health issues. Everybody has mental health issues. I'm sure they do. Without the truth of God's word. I'm sure they do. Have serious mental health issues. But shalom is mental health or wellness, along with tranquility of soul under very negative, oftentimes negative, circumstances and adversity. Prosperity of soul, which is capacity for enduring adversity with problem-solving capability under a wide variety of difficulties, prepared in advance by the Word in our souls for every kind of trial, trouble, temptation, and tribulation. All things that you can bet are coming your way. When you face multiple opponents, you get multiple opponents. You have to learn how to kick, chop, flip, and swat them aside. That's what you have to learn to do. Want to see that again? If God is for you, and he is, who can be against you? Romans 8:31b, the B part. Since Jesus kicked out Satan's teeth and crushed his head on the cross, then what can he do? And what can those he uses do to you? Since the wicked one touches you not. 1 John 5:18. Not to mention, greater is he that's in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. He can't devour you. He can only lie to you. He can only accuse you. He can only gum your mind with projections of doubt and fear. These we learn to cast down and ignore in the bright light of truth. We don't entertain them, no, not for a moment. As we walk each day in the path of the righteous, Proverbs 4:18, with light and lamp for feet and path, in Psalm 119:105. So he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Learning from the Master. He called us to be his disciples, continue in his word. To have extravagant, I mean extravagant, confidence in God, along with extraordinary courage toward people and circumstances. Romans 5:2, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand and boast in hope of sharing God's glory. That's what we have to look forward to. He says, through whom also the access we have by faith into the grace, salvation by grace, growing in grace, having grace against grace, this in which we stand firm in grace, and boast in hope of sharing God's glory. Hope of the glory of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, faith from him, toward him, in him, becomes hope in him, and its extent, in its extension, regarding future events and the unfolding of God's gracious plan. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord Jesus and being irradiated by his glory, reflecting his image from faith to faith, hope against hope, like Abraham did, and grace to grace, and from glory to glory. That's how we go. Until love fills our hearts to overflowing. Romans 5:3. Not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, our troubles, our trials, knowing that tribulation brings about patience. Here we go. It says, and not only this, but also we glory or boast in the difficulties. Thlipsis is the word. T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S. Thlipsis. It means difficulties. It means troubles, trials, testings, and temptations. For those of you who like alliteration. Of many types and combinations. All kinds of things blended together in the plan. Then he says, knowing, not just knowing, but knowing absolutely. This we've come to know absolutely. It's not gnosis or epinosis. It's what, Terry? It's oida, absolute knowledge. There you go. The reason I asked Terry is I forgot the word. No, I didn't. Knowing absolutely that the thlipsis, the tribulation, works out, katergezetai, means works out or brings about, then we have the word hupomone, patience. patient endurance or perseverance. It's all part of the plan. Without adversity, we won't seek the Lord or search the scriptures. You know that, don't you? We'll see no reason to cleave to the Lord and his word. The life of the disciple is the life of hupomone, abiding under. But indeed, with these troubles come the most wonderful spiritual blessings and greatest stability, knowing that we are the objects of God's love and continuous care. Though we do not know what the future holds, what do we know? We know the one who holds our future, and that in nail-scarred hands, proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. And therefore, we're not afraid at all. Romans 5:4, he says, and patience brings about proof. There's plenty of proof that patience produces hope. God proves himself over and over and over and over, again and again and again. He always provides what we need so that we might truly succeed. So, he proves himself over and over. He says, and patience, proof, and proof, hope. I showed you how that works, right? Proof provides hope because he does it over and over again. Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint. There's no disappointment. We're hoping for something to happen according to the word of God. We have faith which has become hope, and hope will soon be love because God demonstrates in every way, every which way, that he is faithful. So, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. He says, and hope does not disappoint. It just doesn't. Because the love of God is ekio, poured out lavishly in our hearts through or by the Holy Spirit, given to us in his fullness. Love is the ultimate objective. So here's how it works. Ready? We get saved and declared eternally righteous the moment we believe in Christ, made just as if I'd never sinned. With the gift of righteousness comes the abundance of grace in which we stand, the goodness, kindness, favor, and blessing of God. Due to righteousness, since we have the gift of righteousness, that all comes due to righteousness, John 1:16, Romans 5:17 and 21. And not only do we stand in grace, but also we're equipped to face great difficulty, 2 Corinthians 12:9, which drives us to the Word for the answers to our questions, the solutions to our problems, resulting in patient endurance, hupomone, abiding under. A wide variety of difficulty and adversity programmed into the plan of God in order that we would seek him and cleave to his word each and every day. Not sometimes, for some things, but all the time, for everything. This results in all the proof we'll ever need that God will provide everything we need to succeed. By this experience, faith becomes hope, which is confidence and courage in facing the future. As long as we live. Since faith and hope are found in the Lord and affirmed by his word, and he's proved himself faithful over and over again, by the full assurance of faith, we enter the door of hope. And we're never disappointed. And by all he has done and provided, and through his love letters, become fully assured of his love for us. We'll finish with several verses. 1 Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near, an exhortation from the scripture, with a heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 6:11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. And Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. What it all boils down to is this: faith, hope, and love. These three: faith, the apprehension of Bible truth; hope, the assimilation of Bible truth; love, the application of Bible truth. Abiding, continuing, residing, remaining in the word of the Lord. 1 John 2:5-6. Whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has been fully developed. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the word of God. It's so magnificent in every way. It's beautiful, perfect. Father, may we see the importance once again. And maybe if we're on the fence, get off the fence. Jump down on the right side. The fence, the side of righteousness, which is your doing. For faith, hope, and love, which is your doing. Faith, which is gold. Mined deep within the earth. Hope, which is silver, refined in a furnace of earth, 7 times absolutely pure. And precious stones. That is love, the application of truth to life. You've given it to us. Father, may we take full advantage of it. With the days that remain, may we abide and remain. For the days that remain in our lives on earth, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
If we could all stand.